Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220. The Word, I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. And we are live in the studio. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this afternoon. That phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And in the meanwhile, we're going to open in a word of prayer. And also going to share something here from the book of Titus as well today that I think be a blessing to you. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We do pray that you would bless the program. Use the program to lift up and glorify Christ, to point people that are searching to Christ, and pray that you'd help us to encourage believers in their walk with Christ. And we just thank you for the opportunity to bless. Now we pray, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and certainly invite you to come out and visit us. You can find us in Richfield, Ohio, obviously the name there, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We meet at 4174 Wheatley Road, and we are in Suite 200. And so don't look for a building with a steeple. You won't find us. Look for a commercial suite. Look for our door. We're at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield. And that's at the corner of Wheatley and Brecksville Road, right where Interstate 77, Interstate 271 all come together in that area there. So we look forward to having you visit us sometime. We'll be there tonight at 7 o'clock, our Friday night Bible study every Friday night, 7 to 9. It's an informal Bible study. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can come to our Friday night Bible study. In fact, last week on the radio, or last Sunday, I should say, we were celebrating 17 years on the radio, and our radio program actually developed out of our Friday night Bible study. And that's where we started the whole process of having people bring their questions about the Bible and current events to the Bible study. And then we just began discussing them and looking into the Bible together to see what the Bible has to say. And it's all part of a process of not only hopefully learning and understanding the Bible better, but also developing a biblical worldview so that you can see the Bible has answers to our questions. And so we do that every Friday night. It's informal. It's not a formal service. It's informal. You can ask questions. You can interrupt. You can do all that sort of stuff. And we have coffee and just different refreshments. Last week, I said we have everything from chips or cookies or whatever to pizza, and somebody brought in some pizza. So, but anyway, we have just about anything. It could be every once in a while different things that people bring in to eat, but we'd love to have it. Like I said, it's informal. You bring the questions, and sometimes we'll talk about one question all night long. Sometimes we'll talk about a dozen different questions and topics and things, and sometimes we'll spend a lot of time looking at current events in light of God's Word. Sometimes we barely look at current events. We just simply look at something theological. But in all things, we hope to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And certainly do pray here today. Certainly one of the saddest things that I've ever had the opportunity to see in my lifetime was this travesty of I don't know what exactly the word other than travesty, I guess, when they had President Trump brought down to there in Atlanta and indicted, and then, of course, indicted and mugshots taken and all of that. What a travesty. And so do pray for him. What I really am concerned about, and I've heard a number of people voiced this, and I'm talking about everybody from people who are former Secret Service agents to people who have been in the president's inner circle to people, commentators, and people speculating, and people calling into radio programs. But when you look at everything that they've thrown at this man, President Trump, and they've been unable to destroy him. They've been unable to knock him down. He is leading an unprecedented percentage points. It's just amazing how much of a lead that he has over his nearest competitors. And they're saying that even amongst independents, when you look outside the Republican circles, even amongst independents, his numbers are growing. And part of it is because, you know, the left has really just gone full-blown banana republic over this. You know, we used to look and point out at these countries, these third world tin pot dictators that would imprison or arrest their political enemies and opposition. And we're seeing that today in our country, and it's unprecedented. Well, Paul said in 2 Timothy that we would live in perilous times. Last day would be perilous times, and evil men and seducers who wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But we see them, they've tried everything. They've tried everything. And they even trying to arrest him, which I'd like to know how they're going to put him in jail. You can't just throw a former president into jail and then expect that he's going to be down in the cell block with everybody else. He's under Secret Service protection, for Pete's sakes. U.S. code outlines what would happen. The Secret Service would basically take over the jail, and then where are they going to be? It's ridiculous. So do pray for President Trump. But the concern that a lot of people have now is they've tried everything else. The next thing is going to be attempted assassination. And I heard somebody talking about that, and they said, you know, I hate to even say it out loud. It almost is too much like the power of suggestion. Well, we don't believe in the power of suggestion. We believe in the power of God. And let me encourage you, pray for this man, Donald Trump, whether you think he should be president again or not, whether or not you like him. This is a man that's under incredible, incredible threat. If you've ever listened to Don Bongino, a former Secret Service agent, did presidential security detail for, I think, a dozen years or so, he was saying that the threat level is off the charts. They are getting more death threats towards him than they can even follow up on. And so do pray for him. He's got Secret Service protection. I'm sure he's got some private security of his own as well. But what he needs is God's protection over him. And so the left is desperate. The left is desperate to destroy this country. You say, well, Pastor Al, I thought we're going to get things better and better, make America great again. Well, I'd like to do that, but I'm sorry, I'm a Bible-believing Christian first. You know, I get involved in political things. If you've listened to this program for any length of time, you know I get involved in political things and issues and different things, and talk about some of the campaigns and things that are going on. And we try and alert God's people to where we can be involved, where we can make a difference. But, you know, I've read the Bible a time or two. and each time I read it, there's nothing in here that suggests that America is going to be the most powerful country at the time that the Lord comes back for us. In fact, everything in the Bible indicates that America is not going to be a major world player at the time of the Lord's return. Now, that, of course, when I say the Lord's return, we're talking about at the end of the tribulation period, which is a seven-year period that's going to take place. It's yet future. Pastor Lutz, in the previous half hour, was talking about that. And if you missed that, it was a good program. And by the way, let me encourage you to check out Pastor Lutz's program for the Cause of Christ every Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock. And then we come on, of course, at 1:30, Pastor Andy Rustacco from out at Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid comes on at 2 o'clock, and so another good program to listen to. But when you look at what the Bible says, it's very clear that somewhere between now and the end of the tribulation, the United States is not going to be a major world player. And it's actually even earlier than that. World power, world the energy, I guess you could say, in the political sphere is going to be switching over to Europe, Asia, and the Middle East. And we see the rise of the Antichrist prophesied in the scripture, and he will oversee a one-world government during the tribulation period. Well, guess what? The biggest impediment to that one-world government is it's the United States of America. And I wrote an article a few years ago, and you can find it at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. I wrote an article a few years ago, at least 2 years ago, and it's talking about the new world order and the globalists, their agenda a little bit, and how it's the United States that stands in the way, and they look at this man Donald Trump as being their biggest obstacle. But it's really not Donald Trump that's the biggest obstacle, of course. It's actually the American people. And specifically, it's more than just the American people. It's Christians in this country. It's Christians in this country that are taking a stand, and they are making a difference. And so I believe the next big thing on God's agenda is the removal of the Christians from this world. And when that event takes place, things will be changed here in the United States of America, I believe. The event that we're talking about is referred to as the rapture, the catching away of the believers, and it's an event where it's described in a couple locations in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is one location. Another location is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And another location that I'm going to look at here in Titus is in Titus chapter 2. But let me just read something for you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where he says, starting in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." He goes on to say, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Those that are asleep is a reference to those who have died in Christ, the believers who have died. And when it says as sleeping with him, bringing in, and he said in verse 14 that them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him, he's referring to the soul and the spirit. At death, the soul and spirit is separated from the body. Unlike the Seventh-day Adventists, some others that teach soul sleep, that say that you sleep in the grave, the body sleeps in the grave. The soul and the spirit go to be with the Lord. Absent from the body, Paul said, means to be present with the Lord. And so when Jesus returns for us in this event known as the rapture, or the catching away of the believers, the soul and spirit of the dead in Christ will be brought with him. And then he says in verse 16 here, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Well, that's not the soul and the spirit, that's the body that was put into the grave. The body will be resurrected, and the soul and spirit will be reunited with that resurrected body, and we will be caught up then, the Bible says in verse 17, "And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So then we will be caught up. This is in a moment. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye," he says, "we shall be changed." And he says, "This mortal puts on immortality, this corruption puts on incorruption." That's when this body is changed into a resurrected body, a body with no sin nature, a body that will not die, a body that we will spend eternity in as we're with our Lord for all eternity. But let me show you a little verse in Titus that that we look at sometimes. And in verse 13 of chapter 2, there's a phrase, and I say a phrase rather than just a passage or a verse, because this is a phrase in a long sentence. Now, I have to point something out here. If you have a King James Bible, you have an advantage over people who are using the modern versions. Now, the people who use modern versions, they've been sold a line that the modern versions are somehow better, somehow easier to read, somehow more understandable. Let me tell you, if you believe that, you've been hoodwinked. You need to get yourself a King James Bible. King James Bible is more accurate, and there's a lot of reasons. I don't have time to get into all the reasons right now, but the basic reason is that it comes from the Antiochian stream of manuscripts where God preserved his word, and as opposed to the Alexandrian stream of manuscripts that the modern versions all come from, and that includes the New King James, the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, the English Standard Version, the Revised Standard Version. All of them come from the Alexandrian stream, which is a polluted stream. Don't have time to get into that right now, but it ultimately goes back to Alexandria, Egypt, where Origen believed that the cardinal truths of the Christian faith that we would stand for, he believed that they weren't true. He rejected the deity of Christ. He rejected the blood atonement. He rejected the physical bodily resurrection of Christ and many other things. And so he attacked those things by removing portions of the scriptures. And so the modern versions that are based on the Alexandrian text stream of manuscripts that would be the Sinaiticus, the Vaticanus, to name probably the two most familiar. They are tainted with that influence of Origen and his followers. So getting back to the King James Bible, another reason the King James Bible is superior to the other Bibles is it preserves the complex sentence structure from the original languages. The modern versions break up these longer sentences into short, choppier sentences where they elevate clauses to become independent sentences, and they take away from the continuity and how the clauses are used to develop the main thoughts of the sentence. And so when we come to Titus chapter 2, and it says this sentence, it begins for us in verse number 9, okay? Now, the blessed hope is down in verse 13. So I'm going to read the entire sentence. Paul writes this: "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things." Now, I'm going to have to correct myself here just for a moment here, because looking at my glasses here, I read this period as a comma, and so that was one sentence there. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters, and talk about how we ought to be as children of God. Now the sentence begins, and let me correct myself. The sentence begins in verse 11. Sorry, my glasses are not serving me well today, I guess. But in verse 11, it says this: "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." There's the whole sentence, verse 11 through verse number 14. And so the blessed hope that appears in verse 13 is one clause in this overall sentence. Now, I had started reading earlier in verse 9, and in verse 9, the context here that we have that this sentence appears is Paul is writing here to exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So he's talking about being how we ought to behave. In fact, this is a whole line of things that he begins the chapter in verse 1 saying, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." And he talks about how the behavior of aged men. He talks about the behavior of the aged, the elder, the aged women. And he talks about how young men and young women ought to behave. And then he talks about how servants ought to behave. And there's a great parallel there with the servants to us as Christians, because we are servants of Christ, are we not? And so when you look at this, we're looking at how we ought to behave. And if servants ought to be obedient to their own masters to please them well in all things, then obviously, wouldn't we want the same for us as Christians, to be obedient to our master, our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we would be obedient to him and please him in all things? Well, that would be the case, wouldn't it? So now when we get into the sentence that starts in verse number 11 here, he says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." So he's talking about salvation that's been made available to us. And when you have received Christ as your Savior, you have received something, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. You've been the recipient of God's grace, and you've received salvation. And so when you look at the grace of God that bringeth salvation, that same grace is going to be instrumental in teaching us, he says in verse 12, what we ought to be doing now that we're saved, how we ought to be as Christians. So teaching us that, and here's a comma, because he's going to give a list of things that we ought to be doing. So teaching us, he says, that, first thing, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Well, that makes sense. We're supposed to live as Christians, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. And doing that, he then says, there's a comma, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So how do we deny ungodliness and worldly lust? Well, by living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's how we deny ungodliness and worldly lust. So that's the first thing that we need to do. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust and how we do it, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Then there's a semicolon there, not a period. If you're reading a Bible that has a period there, you're being ill-served. You need a King James Bible where there's a semicolon there, which tells us that verse 13 continues in this list of things that we need to do. The same grace of God that brought salvation to us, the same grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that same grace of God also teaches us and tells us that we should be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. This is something else that we ought to do, just as important as just as important as denying ungodliness and worldly lust. The other thing that believers are to do is to depend upon the grace of God that we can look for that blessed hope. Now there's a comma there. It doesn't say that blessed hope and glorious appearing with no comma. It says looking for that blessed hope, comma, and the glorious appearing. Now, that tells us these are two separate events. The glorious appearing is the return of Jesus Christ to this world, where Jesus Christ sets foot down on the Mount of Olives and it splits in half. It's when Jesus Christ returns in glory with the armies of heaven accompanying him at the end of the tribulation period in Revelation 19 as he comes and he defeats the armies of the Antichrist, and the Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown in the lake of fire, and the devil is taken captive and bound and with a chain for 1,000 years, cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then Jesus sets up his kingdom on earth. But before that is something else called the blessed hope. And that blessed hope is the catching away of the believers that we read about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When somebody tells you not to be concerned about the rapture and the return of Christ, point them to Titus chapter 2, where it says this is one of the things that we ought to be doing, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. I'm looking for it. I hope you are too. When you see things happening in the world, do you know Christ is your Savior? That's what you need. Keep looking up. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night
from 10 to midnight.
And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.